Good afternoon, Wrangell. You're listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1 p.m., and we have our guests, that's Jenny Jackson and Shauna Durfee, on the line, and they will speak to community mask making. So, do I have both of you all on the line? Hi, Jenny. Hi, Shauna.
Hi, June.
Okay, I hear you all. Thank you for calling in today. And we are live and ready to go. So, Jenny, I know that you are making masks and you are distributing them. Shauna, I know you are doing the same and on maybe a more individual scale. So, Jenny, let's start with you real quick. Tell me how exactly you are getting masks out to people right now.
So we have quite a few people that are cutting and sewing, and we are taking all the masks that we're sewing down to the library, and they are distributing them from that location. So people can call the library and let them know, how many masks, if it's children or adults, and then Margaret can get that taken care of for them.
Okay. And Jenny, you are personally making these masks as well, correct?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So you are using the library as a source for people to reach out and say that they have the need. And for people to pick them up there. Shauna, tell me a little bit about what you're doing to get your masks out.
Right now, we're just trying to streamline the process of cutting time that it takes to cut all the masks out and sewing. Right now, I'm working on 100 masks, and all my elastic arrived yesterday. So we've been using a machine called a Glowforge, which is like mini, like hobby craft CNC machine. And so we just pressed all the fabric flat, threw it in the machine, had it cut the pattern. And it took us about 2 hours to cut out 200 or 112 masks. So.
Okay. Yeah. So you have cut those out and now you're just getting to sewing them.
Yep. And that's what I'm working on.
Okay, cool. Then thank you so much for introducing yourselves. And let's just go, Jenny, I'll kind of start with you and get a little bit more into the specifics of how you and your folks are going about getting these masks out and creating them. So I understand that you are, a Wrangell rep for this group, Southeast Alaska Mask Makers. Just tell me more about what exactly that group is. What does it look like?
Well, I'm not really sure what the whole group looks like. There's one lady that started in Haines that decided, I don't know how she really got the group about, but she just kind of reached out to all the different Southeast communities and said, hey, I'm going to start this group. And we need people to help sew and cut fabric and donations. And there's people that, need to be administrators in the town. So there's, a contact point. And so I had just kind of saw her on the community board and just reached out to her and decided that, I asked her, has anybody else stepped up and just kind of said, hey, I just want to do this. And she said, not yet. So I took that on and decided that in my spare time right now, that's what I would do for the community.
Okay. And before we get more into masks, tell me, why do you have spare time and why is this a good use of your time?
Well, I have a lot of spare time because my salon is shut down right now because of the virus. So I don't want to just sit around and do nothing. I wanted to do something productive and good.
Okay. Well, Jenny, we're really glad to hear that. And I hope, the future for the salon is gonna come back. You know, I hope that things will get better. Definitely. And you guys are so important. Our hairstylists are very important. Thank you.
I had thought to retire and just stay home and quilt, but no, I enjoy being downtown in the salon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I miss it.
You're seeing a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you reached out to these folks. You said, I'm going to take on this task. And so who are the people that you're interacting with to make this happen? You know, who are your mask makers and who are your distributors? Just what does that look like?
You know, there's so many people that are not involved specifically with the group that are making masks and taking the library. And that's why we chose the library, I think, if I'm correct, because that's where everybody else that was making them for the community could take them. So I don't really know all of the people that are making them to take to the library. I know like Nettie Cobalt took some today. We have Margaret is sewing and Sarah Scambler. And I know I'm going to forget someone and it's not intentional, but there's just, you know, I have some people cutting just the straps that I need for the binding. And I mean, do you want me to list their names?
Well, you can list their names, but also, I mean, just, you know, is this like a dozen people, half a dozen people?
There's right now, there's two people just cutting strips. There's one person cutting fabric constantly. And there's probably five people sewing that are like with me, not including the ones that are sewing on their own that are taking them to the library.
Okay. Dan, you know, some folks are start to finish, they're doing it on their own. I'm curious, how does this how does the work with your folks that are doing the straps and then, you know, getting those to the other sewer? Like, how does that process work? What is the streamlined process of that?
Most of the sewers themselves are either cutting the strips themselves or they're using the elastics, or there's a couple people that are doing things with the old t-shirts and such. And so the straps that are being cut for me are just kind of for me. And if anybody needs any, I'm more than happy to get them to them. It's just, so everyone is just cutting the strips and they're bringing them to my house. And then the fact being cut and brought to my house. And then if anybody needs anything, I just put the kit together of what they're asking for and then put it on the doorstep and they come and grab it and take it to their home and do what they need.
Okay. Yeah. And so we'll get more into materials and mask making and really bring in Shauna on that too. But, you know, Jenny, for you, and the role that you've taken, how many masks have you distributed and what's your goal?
Well, my goal is just to really make sure that everybody that needs a mask has one. I just want to make sure that everyone is protected as best they can. So far we've distributed 221 masks. And so that's a really good start. We have a lot more that we have needing them, and we're just really trying to crank them out as fast as possible.
Yeah, so as fast as possible. So, I mean, are you finding that a ton of people are asking, you know, that you're having a hard time keeping up with that need?
A little bit. There's a little bit of a delay because when we first came out and said that, you know, we were making them here, at first there was an order form that everybody could fill out. And now they're emailing the city email address that gets on the list is at the library. And so I'm not quite sure. I think Margaret said that there was I can't remember what she said, how many were still waiting, but the demand is kind of, I think, leveled off a little bit. First, it was pretty big, and I'm not sure if people know that they can go get them there or not. We're just trying to get the word out so that as many people want them as they can get them.
Okay. Jenny, thank you so much. And stay on the line and we'll keep talking.
Okay.
So Shauna, tell me what your process is looking like. I guess you told me a little bit about that. Let's start from the beginning. You know, when did you start making masks? Just start from there.
About 3.5 weeks ago, I had people from down south reach out to me asking if I can make masks, just because they knew that I can sew. And a couple of them were EMS workers, and they told me they were only getting one mask a day. And so they were asking how many could they get for fabric to cover that. So every day I just started making a dozen masks. And then when the city decided and announced in regards to CDC guidelines about making masks, I had already made over 200. And now we're just trying to fill what we can and help out in the community. And again, you know, taking them to the library and whatnot when they're done. So,
yeah, that's wild. So how many have you personally produced at this point?
I think a little over 200, and then I'm working on 112 right now.
Okay, cool. And, you know, you said you were getting these out initially to health professionals down south. You know, just give me a quick idea of, you know, what that looks like. How is the cloth mask that you were making for them different than the one you would make for me?
I'm using the same pattern for all the masks because it's simpler, and I can sit there and do it all in one mass production of it. So I'm just trying to keep it as easy as possible and go as quick as possible in the process. So they're just a concave style masks, and they're 4 pieces, and 2 pieces you sew at the nose bridge along with the other half of the inside, and then you sew those together with elastic and turn it inside out and top stitch, and then that's it.
Right on. Yeah, how did you come up with that pattern?
It was in a sewing group that I'm in on Facebook, and they had it as a free pattern. Okay. So, and I just liked that pattern, and I've been rolling with it ever since.
Okay, so you didn't have to do a lot of retooling, it sounds like.
No.
Okay, cool. And Shauna, I'm wondering, you know, the masks that you're making, would somebody be able to make that mask with a regular sewing machine, or, you know, are you incorporating other machines that, you know, maybe the average person doesn't have?
Nope. Anyone can make these masks on a normal sewing machine. And we're really trying to encourage people to do it just because the demand of it is so high. And we can only sew so much in a day.
Yeah.
Video that shows you how to sew the mask together. And then if people want the pattern, I have the pattern that I can give to them as well. So they can always reach out to me for that.
Okay. Shauna, that's awesome. We'll make sure to post that for our listeners. Yeah. And I'm wondering, how many masks can you make in a day?
Well, on a good day, I was making like 2 dozen a day, and that was hand cutting it. But we kind of experimented this past week, like I explained with the Glowforge machine. Mm-hmm. So we cut out slabs of fabric that were 11 by 19 inches and had the machine cut that all out. And so we just, I just had a fat stack of fabric and I've been sewing along. My elastic came in yesterday. I'm almost done with sewing the mask together. And then all I got to do is turn them inside out and top stitch them shut.
Right on.
So yeah.
And maybe both of you all can speak to how are you coming by these materials?
My giant fabric stash that I've hoarded over the years. And people have also been donating fabric as well. So that's been really helpful.
Okay. Jenny, what about you?
Well, I don't have a stash yet, but this gives me a good excuse to go shopping. we've had donations as well, and some of my sewers, they have a big stash and they're more than happy to be using it for them, you know, by themselves. So just donations and everybody using their own stuff.
Okay, right on. But you all are, Shauna, you said you just got a shipment as well.
Yeah, I was out of elastic, so I finally found some online out of California and had it shipped here, and it arrived yesterday.
Okay, cool. Awesome. And, you know, for the kind of material that you're using, if somebody wanted to make a mask on their own, like what particular material should they use?
They can use cotton, like quilting cotton, or they can do like a light canvas material. Mm-hmm. Like a cotton canvas. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Okay. And then yeah, and then whatever elastic you might have around.
Yeah. 1/8 to 1/4 inch elastic works well. Mm-hmm. If you don't have elastic, you can use bias tape. You can use string. People have been using old t-shirts and slicing those up and making strings out of those.
Sounds good. Sounds good. And have either of you all seen or created a mask that just you really liked? Like the pattern was really cool. The design was really cool. Are there any that are coming to mind?
I have Barbie ones, and fabric was donated that Darth Vader. I think that's pretty cool for the Star Wars fans.
That's awesome. That's very cool.
It's hard to be a quilter and like look at the material you have, because it's all like fun, frilly, flowery, girly stuff. And you're like, how can I make that for a man? What am I going to do? Oh, that's the hardest part.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Thanks, Jenny. Are you guys making masks for kids?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
And
go ahead. The pattern that I have that's available, it can comes with two sizes, an adult size and a kid size as well.
Okay. Very cool. Well, I think, you know, other than that, we can just do some final words. You know, I'm thinking, well, I guess before final words, I'm sorry, guys, my train of thought. thank you. So, you know, the recommendation from the CDC and our state public health officials and, you know, now Mayor Prusunka, you know, that came out that just a couple weeks ago. You know, that's very recent. You know, I'm wondering how comfortable do you think people are with out in public? You know, have you just been hearing anything about how people feel about that?
I've been kind of hearing some poo-pooing about it because, you know, people or some people think that it really doesn't help you. And honestly, kind of discouraging to hear that, because even if it's not I don't know what the right words are to say, but I just feel a little bit more protected from stuff, you know, coming at my face with it on there. So I just wish that more people were wearing them.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah.
Shauna, what are you hearing and seeing?
I'm hearing and seeing mixed emotions about it. So there are people I have seen wearing masks around town and others that haven't. And just people are saying how silly it is to wear a mask. But, you know, it's for the protection of others, not just us as well.
Right.
And it's one of the big reasons why we're making all these masks for people, too.
Right. And we'll just keep making them for everybody, and either they'll come around or we'll have a lot of masks.
Yeah.
Well, it does seem like the demand is still pretty high, you know, considering the resources that you have. So yeah. And it's a trend, you know, you guys are trendsetters. So once people see other people wearing the masks, that encourages them, that lets them know it's okay, it's not weird, and there's a reason for it.
For sure. It's a definite hard thing to get used to. You're just used to walking out the door and going to the store, and you're like, oh, dang it, I got to put my mask on. So it is something you really have to think about. Because it's not a normal, obviously normal part of our day.
Yeah. Any other advice on that, on how to make wearing your mask practical and comfortable and just really incorporating it into your daily life?
I don't know. Other than maybe keeping the bottom tight around your, around the neck and letting it hang on your neck so you're feeling it and remembering it's there and getting used to it. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a great point, for it to be something you can wear without having it constantly on your face, but it is constantly available. Yeah, I think that's a good point, Jenny. Thank you.
I just keep mine in the car. I have a couple of them in the car, actually. So if one gets dirty, then I just take it in the house with me and I wash it. And then that way I don't forget next time I leave.
Yeah, that's a good point, Shauna. Tell me, what should people know about washing their masks?
Frequently. Yeah.
And just wash them in hot water. I don't like to put mine in the dryer. I like to air dry it just in case that elastic snags, or if the dryer is too hot and it melts it. If you're making masks that have like the metal nose bridges on them, you know, you don't want to put that in the dryer.
Right on. Thank you, Shauna. So I think we can wrap up our conversation. Are there any parting words you have to say about either getting these masks out or why you wear them? Anything you want to end on?
I just like to say I appreciate everybody that's helping out the community, and not just my group, but everybody that's helping all the stores. The outpouring of help and donations has just been great, and we really appreciate that. I just love this little town for those reasons. You know, everybody could just be gimme, 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 but someone's taking the time. What can I do to help? Or here's, you know, $20 because I don't know how to sew or have material, but I want to do something. So that's just what is impressive most.
Jenny, thank you. Shauna, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, thank you to everyone who's been donating, who's been putting in the time. It is tedious to make masks, to cut them out and to sew and filling that demand. So thank you to everyone for that. And like Jenny said, it's real nice to know, like, you may run short of supplies or you'll be looking for something, but you can just mention it and someone will be at your doorstep the same day with it. So it makes the process a lot easier as well.
Awesome, Shauna. Thank you so much for that. So,
can I add one thing?
No, you're fine.
I'm super glad that we have Carol Hay and the Hay Squad because she has gone up and beyond to make sure that we have what we need. She's donated herself. And I just feel like without her little shop here, it would be a lot harder to get materials. And if you haven't been to her little fabric store, you should check it out when we can.
Right on. So she's been able to supply you guys throughout this process. Okay.
She has been, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. And that's a very, very cool resource for when this is all said and done.
It is.
Okay. Well, Carol, thank you. Shout out to you. And Jenny, Shauna, thank you so much for coming on air with me today.
Awesome. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Jim.
Okay. Take care, ladies. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.